Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
We are starting a new series, and it's called Imagine This, Good and Beautiful. If you've been around for a week or two, you're going to hear this word thrown out a lot. There's actually several things that we say over and over and over, and you might roll your eyes at some of these statements. Because when I talk about like a good and beautiful life, the number one question I get is kind of with the arms crossed. I'm like, all right, Chris, seriously, what's this whole good and beautiful thing all about? Right? It's like my life doesn't feel good and beautiful. Maybe you're here and you are following Jesus, so you're a spiritual person. And when you hear the words good and beautiful, you have this idea of it like, oh, it's supposed to be like rainbows in the clouds and like unicorns riding leprechauns or flip those, right? So it feels like that's what it sounds like it should be. And my life does not match that reality. In fact, my life is filled with pain. I just talked with someone today of how they have pain every day in their back, just never get escape it. Maybe you're here and you're walking through financial pain. You're walking through some mental illness. Maybe you're walking through, you name it, and you think, this is not, in this pocket of my life, does not feel good and beautiful. So what's the deal with it? Well, I'm going to answer that in two ways. The first one is, we don't just say that word because it's really hip with it and wow. We don't say that just because like it's a clever little thing that I can repeat, and when I don't know what to say, I just utter good and beautiful, right? One thing that Nikki and I do that we value highly is that we want to do things on purpose. We want to do things on purpose. We don't want to do things by accident. And as a church, there's like hundreds of things that we can do as a community. There's a lot of things we could do. But we want to do like a couple really, really, really well. And so what you value is what you're going to communicate. And so we communicate several things over and over and over again. We communicate the whole idea of like loving your soil, loving like the community and your neighbors where you live, and getting to know their stories, getting to know their dreams, and going like meeting their names, and then always going a little bit more. Like we really believe in that. We talk about how we want to have life-giving conversations around every table in Carlton County, because there is tens of thousands of people who are dying to be noticed. There's kids, there's teenagers, there's adults. There is tons and tons of people who would love nothing more for someone to just have a life-giving conversation. That's why we exist. We talk about that good and beautiful. There's a good and beautiful God who wants nothing but good and beautiful things for us, because people have this idea of God is angry at them, that they're already too late, that they're beyond reach, and now they just have like average at best, where Jesus comes and says, I've come to bring life and life to the full. So like we say those things because we actually believe those things. And we're going to continue to say those things because that helps us accomplish our purpose. And what's our purpose? Love God, love people. And that's where we're investing every bit of our energy, our time, energy, resources, money, our leadership, everything. Because that's who we feel God has called us to be. And so if you're here as part of the Cloquet Vineyard, well, then this series is going to help us be able to understand what does a good and beautiful life really look like. Because like the good and beautiful life is when we're a Jesus-looking person. That's another thing we say over and over again. When we can experience the goodness of God, and we can let the character of Christ form and shape us, so that we can actually love our neighbor, where we can actually sit around tables and have life-giving conversations, where we can actually become and look and act and laugh and fight like Jesus. So like that's what's this whole good and beautiful thing is like, it's part of who we are. The second one is this: if you even ask that question, like, whoa, 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 Chris, seriously, like this good and beautiful life, like, talk to me. The very fact that you're asking that question, you are in great company. Because the thing I absolutely love about this community, the thing I love about Carlton County, is that people are at least are engaging. They ask. And they say, well, what does this really look like? Because if you're willing to ask the question, what you're saying then, you might not be trying to communicate it that way, but you're saying, I want to go from my head, I want it to get into my life. I want this idea of a good and beautiful life, because we all love the ideas of stuff, right? We love the idea of losing weight. We love the idea of being debt-free. We love the idea of a good and beautiful life. And so when you are willing to sit down with someone and say, seriously, How do you do this? Or even if you come at it in a cynic view, like, I don't know if I really believe this or not, Chris. Regardless, what you're doing in that space is you're entering into a conversation that will help help shape and form and challenge you. That helps you lean just a little bit more towards the kingdom. So if you're here and you're cynical, if you're hearing the whole idea of a good and beautiful life, you feel like it's beyond reach, I don't know about that, here's my invitation to you. Over the next several weeks, like, lean in. Like, ask those questions. Maybe even have an open mind that maybe this whole good and beautiful God might, just even for just the briefest of moments, have something for you. So in order to answer the question, what is it all about, where we need to start is this whole idea called the gospel. Like, what's the gospel? The gospel means good news. But what's really good about this whole gospel thing? Because if I asked you, I said, like, hey, Kyle, what's the gospel? If we were sitting around at the warming house having a cup of coffee and said, well, how would you define the gospel? A lot of us might say, like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son so that none shall perish but all have eternal life. And that's true. That is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And that gives you this picture of who God is, that he's a God who's good, he's a God that he loved, and he's a God that gave. And what did he give? His son. And why? So that we have eternal life. And a lot of us, that's kind of where we stop with the gospel. And when we hear eternal life, a lot of us think of eternal life starts when we're dead, right? Like, eternal life is part B. It's like, I live this life and then kick the bucket, like, hey, eternal life, right? And this, what with John in this original audience, when they heard the word eternal life, when they heard the word, like, kingdom of heavens, they heard the idea of heaven, it was not some distant, far-off land. It was not just this, somewhere out in the mystics and the cosmos, there's this magical little mansion that God built for me, right? Heaven was not just something far away, it was something in the present. Like, they talked often about how, like, heaven interacted with earth. And that's the good news of the gospel. It's good that God gave us his son. It is so incredibly good that he died on the cross and so good that he resurrected. But the reason that all is good, because you get to experience that goodness now. That you can actually experience heaven now. See, that's what the good and beautiful life is not just getting in on heaven later, but right now. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And the reason that this is good is because if you really believe that, like, okay, I only get to experience God's best, his goodness, heaven itself, just later, then your whole life is going to be, like, keeping our eyes down, trying not to screw it up. Why? Because I want to, like, be on this side of history, not that one, right? Like, I remember when I was in high school, there was, like, this advertising campaign or branding with this Christian t-shirt company where they made all these t-shirts that were like, this is your brain on Jesus and this is your brain in hell, right? And, like, we wore these shirts like, hey, this is going to work. People are going to look at this and say, I want my brain on Jesus. I don't want my brain in that hell, right? And it was like almost like this advertising campaign that was based on fear. It's exactly what it was. And it was fear of, when you die, where are you going to go? And now, let me hear me out. That is true. I'm not saying that's theologically inaccurate. But where what you're missing on is, like, in the moment. Because if you really believe it's just like some far off distant place and I get the best when I die and I miss out now, then you are just going to do everything you can to not screw it up. And a lot of it has to do with you. And you do carry that shame. You do carry that guilt. I'm going to talk about that later. But if it's really on how we can experience God's kingdom now, and he wants, like, freedom and hope and life to the fullest now, that if we can experience heaven and the problems that we experience and the tension that we feel and the way we want to fight for justice, and it feels like it will never happen in his kingdom, in heaven, we can. And it's dependent on how good he is and not just how good I am. And the difference is like an ocean apart. That's the good news. And what we're going to be looking at is how we're going to frame all the rest of our talks on what a good and beautiful life looks like. We're going to be looking at the different teachings of Jesus, a lot of them on the Sermon on the Mount. And what Jesus invites us into is, can you just see the world just a little bit different? Can you see racism? That it actually might be alive and well, like in your neighborhood. Are you willing just to at least see it? Can you just maybe see the way that we spend our money or not spend our money? Are you willing just for a moment, just like sit down at the table and have a conversation? Can you see it? And in order for us to do it, there's this one passage, there's actually just one scripture where Jesus makes this declaration that changes everything. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. And it's Mark chapter 1, verse 15. And he says this. This is Jesus. He says, the time has come. Repent and hear the good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus makes this declaration. And if you read through the book of Mark, or even just the next couple of chapters, he says this, and then he goes out and he does a healing. He casts out demons, does more healings. People come to know this whole idea of the kingdom of God in ways they've never heard before. But where it starts is Jesus shows up. And he makes this declaration. The time has come. Here's my question. Why this time? I mean, Jesus is like in his late 20s, early 30s, and he was like a shut-in, and all of a sudden he's like popped out like, the time's gone. Now, gotcha, right? Like, why at this specific moment? Why not like the time when he was a teenager? Why not like when he was like his 18th birthday party? He's like, hey, the time has come, right? Why is it here? What Jesus is doing is he's making a declaration about something. It's about himself. The time has come. I heard one commentator talk on, it's like almost all creation was holding its breath. For all of time, since the fall in the garden, it's like humanity and creation, everything that God created is holding his breath. And Jesus shows up and says, time to breathe. Get ready. The time has come. And it's not like his ragtag group of followers that say that. He doesn't get like some PR guy to help get this nice little spin. He doesn't get like a Snapchat advertisement. It's just him that shows up and makes a declaration. And what he is declaring, what he is saying is me. Jesus saying, I'm here now. He makes it all about himself. And what he's inviting us into is saying, whatever he's going to say, whatever he said after, where it begins and where it starts is, can you see me? The time has come for what I'm about to do. All the things you've ever wanted, all the things that you've been craving for in life, breathe. The time has come. And it's interesting because Jesus is, like I said, is making about himself. And this is actually what got him in trouble, where he would say, hey, I'm the one who can forgive sins. If you've seen the Father, you've seen me. If God abides in me and I abide in him, the religious people today said, whoa, 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 whoa. You don't get to talk like that. You're saying that if we see you, we see God. If we know you, we know God. They were not big fans of that. And Jesus, again and again, he's announcing, he's declaring, saying, look at me. Take me in, see me. And what he's also saying is like, all the ways that you've done life before, all the ways that you've done spirituality, all the ways that you've experienced the divine before this moment, he doesn't demonize it. Like all your family systems that you've operated on, all the ways that this law has helped bring life to you and brought order and brought this community of people together, all of that, he's saying, yeah, but now it's all changing. Why? Because a time has come. I am here. And it's so easy in our spiritual life, in our lives, as we go through our lives, in our rhythms, to miss this. Maybe not for you, but for me. It's easy for me to not see Jesus. Like here at the Vineyard, we have a very high Jesus-centric theology that everything we do, we're going to base it on the person of Jesus, of how we look and interpret the Old Testament, which has some crazy stuff in it, right? We're going to look at that through the lens of Jesus. how we read the New Testament, how we go about loving our neighbors, how we go and battle injustice, how we approach racism, how we approach of do we actually really love refugees? I have a friend that's like what she spends all of her time doing. Why? Because it's who Jesus is and what he's doing. Everything we're doing through the lens of Jesus, but it's so easy to miss it. So easy to let our spirituality be dictated by not just like who Jesus is, but by what we feel, right? Like when we feel good and we have this great experience with God, or maybe on a Sunday or you're reading your Bible, whatever it is, and you're like, hey, my spirituality is great. But as soon as you experience pain, as soon as you experience something difficult, and you're like, well, now my spirituality is what? Nowhere. It's non-existent. And we let that needle, which, let me say this, it is okay to feel what you feel. Totally okay to feel what you feel. But if we can actually see Jesus and we let him be the king, and we might just trust for just a moment that maybe he's good, it changes everything. It changes those family systems. It changes how you go out with your rhythm of your life. It changes how you spend your money. It changes how you think. But where we need to start is move the arrow off of ourselves and what I want, what I'm entitled to, what I deserve. This is the way we've always done it. If you ever say those words, let that be a red flag. Well, we've always done it this way. It's like, okay, well, why? Maybe Jesus might be inviting you into something else. So high person of Jesus. And who is Jesus? This is very important. This is why I spent like 48 hours just thinking about this past week. Because who is Jesus? This is what it says in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. When I read verse 4, it stopped me. In him was life. When you think about Jesus, do you think about life? Like when you just take a moment and you meditate on Jesus, what do you see? What do you feel? Do you experience the guilt and shame? Do you see Jesus just as the angry boss? I'm gonna talk about it a little bit. Or when you think of Jesus, do you feel life? The time has come. Breathe. Because what I am bringing you is life. So that we have to start. No matter where we move, we have to look and say, can we see Jesus? Jesus is saying, the time has come. I'm here now. Then what he goes on to next is he says, repent and believe the good news. This is a word that is emotionally charged. Because if I asked you, like, hey, Jordan, you want to repent, right? There's usually, Jordan's like, yeah, totally, why not? It's usually like high fives and confetti going around. When we hear the word repent, for me, I'll tell you, when I hear the word repent, I get this picture I saw when I was in high school of someone holding the sign. They had a red face and just looked angry, and it says, turn or burn, right? That's when I hear the word repent, it's where I first go. That evangelicals over the last 20, 30 years have used this word as a way of bringing shame, of bringing guilt, of like almost oppression, almost like even this aggressive, like you better repent. And maybe you don't feel that. And I'm glad if you're here and you don't feel that. You see, the word repent simply means to move your direction. It means to change. Like it's originally a military word that meant to be like an about face. So if you're going one direction, stop, and we're going to repent. We're going to move. But here's the big difference. How you see God really does matter. Because if Jesus says, the time has come, I am here, everything's about to change. If you see him as full of life, you see him as something maybe good and beautiful, how he really wants to have life to the fullest. But if you see him as being angry, or as like I said earlier, being that angry boss, repentance and how you feel and what you do with it is going to totally change. Because in my mind, repentance is this like changing, like nudging my arrow from whatever I am pursuing and moving back to the kingdom. It's like where I'm putting my momentum, where I'm putting my best, where my energy is flowing. I'm redirecting that constantly back to the kingdom, back to Jesus himself. But if you feel that Jesus is this angry boss, you ever worked for an angry boss before? You ever had like just like the maniac boss? Anyone? Raise your hands. Maybe, unless your boss is here and you currently work for them. Yeah, she's like instantly put the hand down like, no, I don't know what you're talking about, right? Ask me if I love my boss. Yeah. So, maniac boss, right? Like if you ever worked for like that just crazy boss where like if the boss comes on the hallway, everyone like gets below the little glass door in your door so you just like move around so he doesn't see you. You ever felt that? Of where there's only like three things that you can talk about, you never talk about these 10 things. And the only time you would ever think about repenting, the only time you'd ever think about changing your direction is if you got busted. Why? Because if you got caught, if they really found out, then you would, you're off the team, you're off the boat, you're fired, you're on the street. And so you walk around with this fear of don't look him in the eyes, don't look her in the eyes, don't bring this up, just get your job done, don't go in their office. If they come down, hide, run. And sadly, there is workplaces like that. There's families like that. You don't talk to dad after he had a couple drinks, right? It is so easy for us to view God like that. Of saying, why would I ever repent? I just want to be able to make it so I get into heaven. I just want to make sure I'm like 51% on the good team, right? I don't want my brain to be, I want the brain on Jesus, not on hell. But if he's full of life, repentance, instead of it being something shameful, instead of something to be feared, instead of just something like I'm only going to do it if I have to, if it's something good and beautiful, then repentance is always an opportunity to grow. It's never a threat. How many of you have felt that before? That repentance was something to be pursued. It was something to be celebrated. Look at the words. He says, repent and hear the good news. Jesus, full of life. The good news is that you can change direction. And as we go through the Sermon on the Mount, there's going to be things that are going to be addressed that should, I hope, make you feel uncomfortable. I pray that we are incredibly uncomfortable over the next several weeks. That Jesus is preparing this table. He's preparing a meal for us to sit down, clink glasses, and say, hey, Chris, let me tell you what it's like to notice the least and the last. And as you have that conversation with Jesus, I hope that I could be challenged, that the way I view my neighbors, the way I view how I judge other people, that if repentance is something to be celebrated, if I can have an open mind to it, then me being wrong is not a threat to the good and beautiful life. I don't have to have it all together. I can in that moment say, I've never thought about it that way, Jesus. I would love to repent. I would love to move my momentum just a little bit different. And here's the thing. When it comes to repentance, like it's you're going to have a different reaction. Sometimes when I interact with people, they have this idea of if you repent, it should just be snot and tears all the time. Like true repentance is when you grovel, right? There's times in my life, like I keep bringing up shame and guilt because when I went on a silent retreat, I don't know, 3-4 months ago, the thing that I felt God expose in my life was I operate with a ton of shame and guilt. In my parenting, in my marriage, in the way I lead, the way I view Jesus at times. It's like I'm never good enough. I'm just always second best. I'm just going to have to just live right here. And it's like if I don't do it right, then I'm going to be worse off. And that drove, and it was shocking to me. I didn't know it was there. And that night, watching the sunset at my sister's cabin, on the front porch, I just bawled. See, I'm going to cry right now. So I just had this moment. It wasn't because of, oh, I'm such a horrible person, and why did I think that way? Why in the world would I operate that way? Instead of being like the guilt and shame, confirming the guilt and shame, in my repentance, in moving my arrow, it was, I'm so thankful I don't have to live that way. I am so thankful that God is really good. Not just when I perform, Not just when I'm doing what I deem to be all the right things. In my hot mess, in the middle of my life, in the middle of me being a good dad and a good enough dad, there's a good and beautiful God who still loves me. Repentance like that, friends. That I can move my arrow. I can move my direction. I can change my thinking. But where it starts, we have to see Jesus. The time has come. Breathe. When I see Jesus and the way he's inviting me to sit down and have the conversation, be open-minded where I can change, and I begin to direct my movement towards him and align my arrows with him, then what are we moving towards? Time has come. Repent and hear the good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. What Jesus is saying is that, like, heaven is at your fingertips. Heaven itself is knocking on your door. What is that deep longing you have? What's that feeling that you are hungry for? Significance. Having like the best friendship. A feeling like you've achieved something and it feels right. Of having just like life-giving laughter. What is the thing that you've wanted? And hopefully in your life, there's been pockets where you've felt that. When we feel those things, that's heaven. When you can like have this moment with your kid and they smile and they say, I love you, and it feels right, that's heaven. When you give up your afternoon to help your buddy, give up your weekend to help your buddy re-roof their house, that's heaven. When you redirect your finances to give it to some organization, to give it to another person, if it just feels right, that's heaven. When we see Jesus and we move our lives and our momentum towards him and his kingdom, what we get is heaven itself. And the good and beautiful life is when we are operating, when we're living, like in heaven itself. It's like I have this picture at times where I feel like I can see heaven. It's like it's somewhere near. And it's like, wow, that's really nice. That's a really great thing. And what Jesus is inviting us into is not just observe it, just to not to know it's there, but to swim in it, to let it encompass every single part of us. But to do that, we have to go back and be willing to see Jesus and repent, move those arrows, move our momentum. Why? So that we can live and operate in a place where we experience heaven, that hope, that love, those dreams, that power. The same power. You see the life of Jesus, and he walks around, and he asks people, what do you want? And they say, I want to be well. And Jesus says, okay. And he says, pick up your mat and walk. And the blind see. And the dead are awoken. And the people who are trapped with, like, talking about the Bible all over the place, about demons, of operating, telling you lies, and again, guilt and shame holding down. Jesus walks the room, and they're gone. When heaven comes, I just heard this morning. It said if perfect love can drive out fear, the reverse is true as well. Perfect fear can drive out love. When heaven is close, when you see Jesus and you repent and you're operating in heaven, fear doesn't have to win. Those lies don't have to win. So here's my invitation to you. We're going to pray here in a little bit. We're going to do some what we call ministry time, where we take time as a group just to connect with God and allow him to speak to us, to experience heaven itself. And then I'm going to invite the ministry team here a little bit. And there's going to be people up here standing who would love to pray for you. And in my interactions, I've talked to a lot of people recently of like, you know, have you ever gone up to get prayer before? A lot of people are like, whoa, I'm really happy for the other people, right? We don't do that. If you've never gotten prayer before, I'd encourage you, if you're here and the things I'm going to be talking about feel like they're alive and true for you and you want that kind of good and beautiful life, I'd encourage you to come up and get prayer. But here's my invitation for this series. I'm inviting you to have an open mind. Again, based on who Jesus is. The things you hold close to your chest. The things you say, well, we've always believed this. We've always done this. We've always operated like this. I'm asking you just for a moment, just like put it on the table. It's safe. It's okay to be vulnerable. Because if Jesus is really good and beautiful, if he's really full of life, I'm asking you, just as we interact on Jesus, allow your thinking to change. There might be something underneath the surface that God might be inviting you into to change how you see the world, how you see yourself, how you see your neighbors, how you see your enemies, how you see violence, how you see education, how you see God. And if repentance is not a threat, my friends, then heaven is close. And what Jesus wants for you, there's a good and beautiful God who wants nothing but good and beautiful things for you. So what I like, I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to pray. So there's two specific things that I wrote down. Yeah, that's good. The reason that we stand and the reason that we pray at the end of a message isn't because it's a good transition for the band to walk up and for you guys to walk out, right? It's not why we do it. We do it because we absolutely expect. We don't just anticipate, we expect for God to show up, for heaven to show up. That Jesus wants to give us good things. So there's two things I feel like God's highlighted. And we're going to pray as a large group, and I'm going to invite the ministry team to come up after that. The first thing is this. You hear and repentance, the way you viewed repentance has always been, I don't want to get found out. Because if I get found out, then I'm bad. If I get found out, then it's wrong. And the truth is, you might need to repent of some things that you've been pursuing that you feel like is going to bring you life, it's going to bring you value, it's going to bring you like something worthy. It's going to make you feel okay. And you might be here and you've known for a day, you've known for 10 years, it will never deliver to what you want it to be. And you might be embarrassed about that. You might be, like me, full of shame and guilt. And what I felt like I was praying, what I felt like God saying over it is this invitation to something beautiful instead of fear. And so as I pray, you feel like God dials up something where you feel like, I need to change my energy. My energy is going to this. I need to change the way I think. It goes easily to this. I need my momentum going away from that because it's not life-giving towards this. As I pray, I'm going to just encourage you to pray with me. And maybe, just maybe when we're done, come up and allow someone to pray with you. You might feel a need, you need to confess it. Repentance and confession go hand in hand. Second thing is this, good and beautiful life feels so far away. Heaven itself just feels like, I already missed my chance. My window of opportunity is now closed. I'm out. As I pray and you feel that, you're not out. It's not too late. It's not distant. It's not far off. It's within reach. So let's pray. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And I thank you that you are good. And the time has come. We can breathe. There's hope. There's not just some like made up pretty idea of hope. But hope is a person. Hope is a real thing. In him is life. And that life was the light to all mankind. I pray for my friends who feel distant, who feel left in the cold, who feel like this is all I get, this is all I'm entitled to. Holy Spirit, will you come and will you bring your kingdom now? The invitation to a good and beautiful life is not when I do, when I fix. The good and beautiful life is now. So will you come and show us how to receive that? And I pray for my friends here today, even the ones who are listening to the podcast, with the idea of repentance. And they've been carrying that thought, they've been carrying that lie, they've been carrying that substance, they've been carrying that object, carrying that person, thinking this will finally give me what I want. We just repent. Help us have an open mind to trust that you are good, that you have something good for us in exchange of that lie, whatever that thing is. Help us move our momentum. Help us move our thinking, move our energy, move our allegiance, that we can give our best of ourselves. We can put the energy towards you. Talks on the goodness, the kindness of God leads us to repentance. Thank you, God, for being kind. So here's what I'd like you to do. If I could have our ministry team come to the front. And if you're here and you have been trained on our ministry team on prayer, if you're here, I'd love to have all of you come up if possible. And my invitation is the same. If you feel like you need the opportunity to repent, instead of, no one up here is going to say, you did what? You're thinking, what? They're here because they love God and they love you. The people, sometimes we always feel like it's somewhere, it's for someone else, it's for somewhere else, it's maybe for you. The people here would love to stand with you, pray with you, maybe even cry with you or laugh with you to encourage you. And if you also feel like I really need to experience heaven, you feel lonely, there's physical pain, we talked about the physical pain, you need some emotional healing, man, nothing better than right now to experience heaven. Thank you for coming to Cloquet Vineyard. I'm so excited about doing this series and this journey with you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.